second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of council at
6:33 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-189, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskam. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on May the 5th, 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit and work towards truth and reconciliation. We're back into regular session. We'll have a roll call once again.
Councilor Marley Haskam.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Pepinan.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Clerk Administrator Carly Britton.
Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stoneman.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. On to item 15.1. We have resolution 26-190, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the April 21st, 2026 regular meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To item 16.1, resolution 26-191, moved by Councilor Haskam, second by Councilor Zulak. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has received an application for zoning bylaw amendment at 14 Mahard Drive for the construction of a new dock and boathouse as applied for by Chris and Aaron Emmons, and further that the application is hereby deemed complete. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to item 16.2. Resolution 26-192, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft conditions met letter for consent application number B02/2026, Moichel, and further authorizes the clerk to sign the letter and send it to the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. Any discussion of that letter? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 17.1, Resolution 26-193, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haslam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the District of Parry Sound West Board of Management Belvedere Heights meeting minutes for February 25th, 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.2, Resolution 26-194, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the McKellar Township Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee meeting minutes for March 25th, 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 17.3, Resolution 26-195, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the Township of McKellar Public Library Board meeting minutes for March 23rd, 2026 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To item 18.1, Resolution 26-196, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report and MIN-2026-07, and further, the Council approved the procurement of a pickup truck for the Parks Department in accordance with Section 8.12 of the Township's procurement bylaw, and further, does hereby award the purchase of 2026 GMC Silverado 1500 four-wheel drive crew cab truck from Parry Sound Chevrolet Buick for a purchase price of $54,744 plus $7,207.59 for a total bid of $62,834.59. Discussion? We have, oh, okay, we have our Public Works Superintendent here to speak to it if we wish first.
Yep.
I'll just answer any questions.
Okay, Councilor Kekkonen.
So thank you for providing the different quotations. I didn't notice that the that quotation from Parry Sound Chev, I mentioned anything about the towing package.
It is in there. I have the specification sheet.
Okay.
A towing package wasn't really necessary because we don't pull a heavy trailer, but it does. Trailering package, yes, it's on here. And in there, this is the sheet from the window.
Okay.
It has more detail on it.
Okay.
And the size of the box, I think that's fairly significant.
Yeah, it has a 6.5-foot box come standard on it because it's a crew cab. An 8-foot box makes them too long, and the 5.5-foot box is a little bit short. Right? And I don't know if you noticed in the package, the Dodge, the Ram, had a 5.5-foot box, which wasn't as attractive. But it was the best price. Chevy has an enormous discount on for fleet right now, and they also applied a few other discounts from the dealership, which gave us a total discount of, I think it's $12,500. And $12,500, which is pretty significant. Ram was pretty confident when I was at Mack Lang's that they were going to win the
Councilor Zula.
Yeah, so I just was reading here, 6 year, 160,000 kilometers, sheet metal, rust through, perforation warranty, so that's the rust proofing?
That's the warranty on rust through. It's part of the warranty. It doesn't include oil spray or anything after the sale.
Okay. So they guarantee it for 6 years that it won't rust?
It won't rust. If you read it, it won't rust through.
Through.
It
okay.
may rust but might not have it won't have a hole in it.
Okay. So does it have one of those things that is supposed to stop the vehicle from rusting?
Sacrificial anode? No.
No. So do you intend maybe to have it rust-proof, undercoated?
I deal with Crown Rust Control and just set that up for all vehicles that
that come in.
Yeah,
in now. So that'll be done?
Yeah, we'll do it ourselves.
Yeah, great.
Okay, any other questions? Councilor Hassan?
Yeah, I'll just make a comment that it was a pleasant surprise, these prices. I just never thought that... they would be that reasonable for a 4x4 truck. So, it was a pleasant surprise. So I think the bidding process that we went through has worked well for us.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to do that rather than tender it like we have in the past, because I think that's why we've got such good prices. When you can talk to them face-to-face and tell them what you need, and it's I think it's working out really well.
Saved quite a bit.
Yeah.
Councilor.
Actually, that was the one question I did have regarding, because it does reference the procurement bylaw, so where is this adhering to the procurement bylaw?
At a previous meeting, we did ask council's approval to sole source the vehicle. That was provided to us.
It's similar, I think, to what we used to do invitational bids. You actually go send it out to certain people and see if they can, the best price that they can give you. It's unfortunate that the dealers, I guess they're working differently than we are, but they won't reply to an RFP. And as you say, this seems to be a better deal. It even happened with their previous truck that we purchased for the township for the larger truck, I think. That was through Mack Lang.
Yeah.
And I think that was, again, it was a negotiation back and forth there, but it worked out well.
Yeah.
And the new truck that you're now driving, so.
Yeah.
So do we have a delivery date for this one, or maybe I missed it?
It's on its way. They did a dealer trade to get it. So I would imagine we'll have it by next week, by the time they do their pre-delivery inspection. It could even be by Friday, but I would assume next week.
And we have something later in the agenda, I guess, for dealing with the truck we now have to sell it or put it on the market?
Not the one that Parks Department is driving. It's the one that I'm driving that is surplus. We're going to hopefully declare surplus and I'll get it for sale.
Councilor Zula?
The same way the backhoe went?
Same way the back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a competitive bidding process through GovDeals.
Yeah.
That works out well for us.
Okay, any further discussion? Mm-hmm. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
We had gone through the Emmons application quite quickly, but we've already gone through, is that further on in the planning matters, or?
No, that was it, and then Carly can maybe tell us the next steps on it.
Council deems the application complete, then it goes to our township planner for a planning report. The public meeting will be the first meeting in June. Notices will go out next week.
But just deeming it complete, that's all. So there'll be further discussion. But it looks good. It looks to be meeting all the requirements. On to item 20.1. Resolution 26-197. Moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a memorandum of understanding between the Township of McKellar Public Library Board and the Corporation of the Township of McKellar regarding the provision of administrative support services and the continued cooperative partnership for the delivery of efficient and effective library services to the residents of the Township of McKellar. And further, the Council acknowledges the shared commitment of both parties to work collaboratively in the areas of human resources, finance, facility maintenance, information technology, and other municipal support services as outlined in the Memorandum of Understanding and its attached schedules. And further, the Council authorizes the Mayor and Clerk Administrator to execute the Memorandum of Understanding on behalf of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Now, we have a situation, I don't know, what, Carly, would you have the CEO of the library here as well? I don't know whether we need any background information or just...
If Council has any questions,
okay.
That's fine, but I'm just looking for your feedback.
Okay, good. Any questions then of the MOU? Councilor Keckman.
Well, it's quite a comprehensive document, and there potentially is there are implications for the municipality. So there are a lot of questions to arise. I don't know if we wanted the CEO of the library to go through it.
I would think the question approach is probably a good one. That would eliminate most of the document and just certain areas maybe that we want to highlight. Do you have any particular points?
Well, because the approval of the budget is by the council, and it seems like the acknowledgement of distinct roles and relationships, there seems to be a gap between. Now the CEO would be directly meeting with the clerk administrator in several of the points and acknowledgments of distinct roles and relationships, whereas previously I believe that most of the anything beyond the budget would be done as resolutions through council. And it just seems like there's one step that gets missed throughout the document, and so one of the things I had a question about was that do we have that original or bylaw or provision where the library board was established? And what because it does refer to that from the Public Libraries Act, and as well the lease agreement, because a lot of the points that are in here, are they already dealt with in the lease agreement? Because there's a lot of specific details, and basically what my instinct is that this would require a legal opinion to review this and the implications of the municipality.
This is something that has not changed. This is something that the library board has done with the township, and they're just updating their policies, and so they had to have this down in writing, and it was taken to Carly, I believe. Lynn? Carly was taken to Carly to look it over, and they worked together on it, and there was also a committee set up to work with it, and then it was to come to forward to council, so council could approve it, and then it would go into their policies. You want to say more, maybe, Lynn?
No, that sounds about right. The board felt that we needed to establish a proper, MOU. We set up a committee, and the wording of this was taken off of other library MOUs with their townships, and then we revised it, and we brought it to Carly, and we revised it again. But we're happy to address any issues that you're not comfortable with. It basically doesn't, to my understanding, it doesn't change our relationship, how it has been for the past...
Forever.
30 years.
Everything is the same.
Yeah.
Everything's the same. It's just down in writing. So the Library Act says that we have to have an MOU, and so that's why this has been brought forward, because a lot of the policies and things that the library has are being updated that haven't been done before, so they're all bringing them up to where they should be. And
just,
so,
yeah, just dotting our I's and crossing our T's.
But it's all, everything that has, there's nothing different with what's gone on in the past.
No.
And, yeah, and like Lynn brought it forward to Carly to look it over to see if she could give any, you know, instruction or ideas, and they worked hard together on it, and then just asking for the council's approval that they agree with it.
Okay, other questions? I had a few on different areas, so I'll leave it to council first. I looked up some of the others as well, the other townships, and I think what we have to distinguish here is the staff of the library as opposed to the staff of the municipality, and they are separate. They're not municipal staff. And yet, I notice in one part, I'll get Carly's comments on this as well. The board, this is on Schedule E, Insurance and Risk Management. The board and all officers of the board, including the CEO, shall be included in the liability, indemnification, and errors and omissions insurance to the of the township. I guess the question is, should they have some of their own insurance, I would assume, for the some of the chattels and merchandise, and maybe you don't.
We don't. No, the library is underneath the township's policy.
Okay. I guess the concern there is that we're not, this is a separate board. The library board operates on its own, and now they're to be covered under municipal liability, even though they're not municipal staff. So I'm just not sure about that fine line. I noticed Kawartha Lakes actually include them as municipal staff, which also raised a problem, I thought. So
I believe just for cost advantages as well, it makes more sense for the library to be underneath the township's corporate policy, whereas if they had to have their own policy with Intact, it would likely be more expensive. And, but they are known as a separate board underneath the township's corporate policy.
Yeah, it's just, it gets a little confusing with the positions, I guess, because there's also a second, this is on the second page. Well, it doesn't have a number on it, but this is acknowledgement of distinct roles and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, while it is understood that the CEO does not have the authority to direct township staff, it is agreed that the CEO may directly approach township directors and managers for assistance and support as necessary to coordinate those services identified in the schedules. And that's probably been happening, but I guess the question is there any control over that? I'm thinking of a situation with previous councils where it was not only other people directing the public works superintendent, but even the public, and he was actually following their wishes. So I guess the question is, who is in charge if, for instance, our public works superintendent was called in and he's doing something else as well? I just, without going through the municipal administration, I just got a little concern, and I'm thinking of our custodian as well, that library staff could then direct the municipal staff to do work here in the building without any consult from clerk administrator or council, maybe if it went that far. But I'm just wondering about the actual job descriptions and how many bosses they're going to have. It worries me a little bit. I guess if suddenly people are directing the municipal staff to do certain things, and their job description says they're answerable to certain people, we're going to have to change that, I guess, so that they're also answerable to the CEO or whoever in the library.
Or we could change it to say that we have to go through, because the way it stands now is I always ask for permission for things. I've asked what is Brandy's role within the library? Like, what are the parameters? Does she vacuum? Does she dust? Like, we've set, you know, those kind of things, we sort of sorted out. But if you want it to be more clearly delineated in this MOU, we could possibly take a look at that.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe so that municipal staff Charlie in particular is more aware of what municipal staff is being directed to do, rather than just have it happen, because inevitably what I see happening is staff coming forward and saying, who's my boss?
Right.
But that's happening now, though. Lynn and I have a good working relationship, and there's communication back and forth, and I don't think she would ever, you know, direct a staff to do something outside of their role, or that would cause them to go into overtime hours or anything like that. So I know it says that in the MOU, if council wants to change it so that she directly goes to me first and then it trickles down, that's fine. But in no way is that happening currently.
No, I'm just saying, too, that it's probably good to have it in black and white, that it does go through somebody, because we're speaking for future CEOs, future
Absolutely.
Municipal staff, etc.
Okay.
And,
all right. I think that's good. So that have a channel, like a channel command that, you know, if you need, for instance, I don't know, what would be an example of that? The gardens out front. So we take care of our little garden out front, but your public works water for us. So is that what you're kind of referring to?
That's one, and you mentioned the custodian as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to know exactly what she's responsible for. She's on a 40-hour week sort of thing, and she has other responsibilities as well. She'll have to set priorities, I guess. I just don't want a situation where you have somebody from the library saying it wasn't cleaned properly,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you have to come in and do this, and then she's supposed to be doing something else, maybe cleaning up the community center or some other job. So,
mm-hmm.
Councilor Zulai.
So I think it needs to be that the library staff goes to the CEO, and the CEO goes to Carly.
Yes, I think that would make sense. Now, it creates problems certainly on the weekend when Carly's not here, and the library's open. So.
Yeah, but I mean, they could just make a note, and then when you're in, they'll tell you, they'll leave the note for you, they tell you, then you speak with Carly.
When we use your facilities, for instance, your hall, we fill out a form, and we have to put on that form what we require for brandy, things like that. So in that sense, we do already have a bit of a, you know, a logistical... to follow, but I agree with you that for future staff, because I've had a case where an event host went ahead to the township, unbeknownst to us, and tried to get them to do something,
mm-hmm.
and that was squashed right away. So I think it's good to have it in writing, in our MOU.
Right, yeah.
Which is the whole purpose of it, right?
Yeah.
So we can go back to the drawing table on that.
Questions from council? Councilor Tekna?
So, this is the first time council has seen this, so it is quite a complex, comprehensive document. I know the library board's had a chance to review this over several meetings, most likely.
Yes.
So there's a lot of, you know, terminology in here. The Township of McKellar shall provide the following maintenance services to the board under the Township's policies and procedures for the services listed below. So, do we have a Township's policies and procedures for the services listed below, or is this a new document that the township is going to have to put together to ensure that it's aligning with this memorandum of understanding? The policies and procedures listed below, it has preventative maintenance, code compliance, TSSA, OHSA, ESA, MOL, building, fire, AODA, minor improvements, capital project management, property management, support for emergency after-hours incidents on library property, budget for facility and grounds maintenance, health and safety upgrades as required, contractor policy for facility maintenance. So this here tells me that we have a policy and procedures manual for these items listed here, which I don't ever recall seeing. So is this something that we're going to have to compile to ensure that we're aligning with the memorandum of understanding? As well, the township shall complete all necessary repairs and enhancements in a timely manner to mitigate risk to the library, which makes sense. But do we have a lease agreement with the library board
and is that written into the lease agreement? So if we have other documents, are they aligning with what's written here, or do we need to compile these new documents and policies and procedures?
Yeah, some are provincial acts that are not our municipal policies, and some are standard operating procedures that may or not be written down, so we can totally adopt those for sure.
Any other questions? I had one on Schedule D, number 9. I mean, I'm all for the community hub. That was the idea when we built the building in the early 90s. And it's an idea of having a library here, whereas in Whitestone they're in a separate building, and having this office here in the community center, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a fair bit of use then of the community center, and I'm just wondering if council is okay with 9. Library will not be charged rental, setup, or tear down back into our custodian's responsibilities. Or kitchen fees for the use of the multi-purpose rooms and meeting rooms in the building. I guess the concern is I mentioned the custodian, and she's doing it for other functions too, where people do come in and pay for this, and this is a service that the library is providing. And I guess the one question that's arisen recently, and maybe Recreation Representative can also deal with this, if you have somebody private coming in and putting on a demonstration for the library or whatever, are those people paid? Do they charge the people themselves for the demonstration? I'm just not sure how that actually works. I know we used to have that in Recreation. I think you fixed that.
Well, our Recreation Committee fixed it by getting out of working with anything to do with fees and that. We said, no, that's something staff should be taking care of. If it's where we got to pay an instructor, kind of thing, because the committee being basically volunteers and not in control of the finances of the township, so we basically decided that we would turn it over to staff to look after those situations.
So I guess the question is, if somebody wanted to come in and put on a program for the community, and they're actually going to charge for it to cover their costs, does the library charge them anything to come in and put on that program, or is it always covered?
No, as a public entity, we don't normally. The only thing I'm thinking of is the Science North. When Science North comes, it does the once a year, like we've had it for a couple summers now. We use the arena. It's a big hit for the community. It's an educational event. And we pay Science North to come in and do that. And we've had the Rec Committee sometimes will offer us a donation towards that money because it's sometimes cost prohibitive. But on the whole, when we have somebody, for instance, like a garden planter workshop, that person is just being paid by the patrons for their materials. They're not being paid for their instruction. So we don't tend to have things that I can think of.
Well, the only reason I ask is that we've run into situations going back a few years now where people saw the opportunity to use township property for their own businesses.
Oh.
And we had that in Minerva Park. Somebody wanted to set up some type of a canteen down there, and we said, no, it's not fair to the other entrepreneurs in the area who have to find their own property or some other means. And so we always said you couldn't use the township property for that reason. Another time we had somebody who wanted to use was actually using the kitchen for their own private business. And I don't know whether they were ever charged, maybe they were charged some rent, but again, it gave an unfair advantage to certain people. So I just wanted to make sure that wasn't happening here with these people who put it on.
Well, to my understanding, in our policies, our library policies, we're not allowed to be promoting any business. I mean, we are a resource center. We are an educational center, a tech center. So even when we put on cooking classes, it is clearly understood that that is just you know, an independent teaching of how to plan meals on a budget. And the monies that come in from the patrons strictly goes to the person who went and purchased all the food. And quite often that doesn't even cover all the food. But, so I think our library policies, and I could pull them out, might cover that concern that we don't promote businesses.
Okay. Councilor Zula?
Well, I think maybe we'll have to relook that, because there is people that have a business that are doing workshops.
They're doing workshops, but they're doing it as hosted by the library, and they're not supposed to be promoting their business.
But
so
if they're getting paid, Lynn?
They're not getting paid for their service, they're getting paid for the materials they're using. So, like for instance, all summerscapes and lands, garden gifts, Supoff.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in and does planters.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, she mentions that she has her business, but she doesn't sell plants from her business or anything like that. And the monies that we take in from patrons is strictly for the pots, the soil, and the plants. So we could definitely look and see that we're not crossing any fine line there.
Yeah, I think it needs to be looked at.
But when we had, like, for instance, the Zooms during COVID, it was really understood you cannot be promoting your business through these Zooms. It's just your teaching, your education. The legal workshop that we had to teach people about POA and all that, that person was able to say, we're of this legal clinic, but they weren't able to solicit for clients.
So
I can understand there's a fine line there, but I mean, we have to reach out to experts, right? We don't want to be teaching something that we don't know. So,
I think it's something that probably we should put on the agenda and look into.
Yeah, so the main concern, so I completely understand your concern, is that we're being able to use the township property, and you don't want it seen to the public that we're offering some people freebies.
Well, that's the concern is, I guess, and this is what people have expressed in the past, that the way to get into the township, maybe no charge, is go through recreation or go through the library, and then it's their event sort of thing.
I see.
So that's a fine line, too, as you say.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I have to rely on experts for some of our educational teachings. They all have a job, so...
Lynn, just a quick question too. Is it you that usually reaches out to them, right? Like, they don't come to you.
Yes.
So it's not like a business is saying, you know, oh, here's a good idea.
Yeah, no, I've had people I've had to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
You know, helping businesses.
Okay.
I had another question on acknowledgement, I guess, section 18. I'm not saying committees are anathema to me, but it always concerns me. And this is the way disputes are going to be settled, a committee established. That's a little concerning. I'm not sure how council feels about it, but two members of council, two members of the board, and clerk administrator and the CEO on that committee will mediate and solve the problem. I guess the concern is, as council, we're sitting here and suddenly it's out of our hands. If it gets to that point where there's a dispute and a committee makes the call on it, I guess I'm a little concerned about that,
Okay. Setting
up a separate committee.
Okay. All right.
Councilor Cuckman.
I had that marked as well. But back to there are regarding facility use and maintenance support. Once again, there are points here that raise the question, do we have a lease agreement, and what does it say, and is it going to align with this memorandum of understanding? You know, they make sense. It's the township shall cover all utility expenses, and what does our lease agreement say? If we could, you know, see a copy of the lease agreement. Point that comes to mind is if EV charging stations are put outside, which has been proposed at one point in time, is that a utility expense that the municipality is to pay? So just to see what the lease agreement says regarding the entire lease agreement, I think it's important to review. Under Schedule E, insurance and risk management, the library shall adhere to the requirements of the township's insurance risk management program. So I have seen risk management reports in the past. I haven't seen any for many years. Is this still being done annually by our insurance provider?
What did those risk management reports contain?
They would go through the entire facility and pick out items that were of concern that may increase liability to the township.
Currently, we just recently had a person from Intact come and view all of our facilities. They did let us know of concerns that they had immediately, and I expect a report to be done shortly.
Okay, thank you. So the CEO, and this is, I think that up-to-date asset management plans are important to have. The CEO shall prepare and maintain an asset management plan for the facilities and holdings and shall review and revise the plan annually with the board and clerk administrator to ensure adequate insurance is in place. So depending on what that capitalized threshold is, that could increase the township's insurance policy premium. So I think that we had a hard enough time coming up, council deciding to provide updated insurance coverage on all bridges of an additional $17,000 annually. So what kind of impact will this have on our current insurance policy premiums? Just questions that I think that are important because they do have financial impacts on the municipality.
Yeah, I have one more there on Schedule F, number 4. It's about messaging communication to the public. The board will, this is about 5 lines down, the board will consult with appropriate township staff, a little vague, including the clerk administrator, rather than the clerk administrator, it's including, to review such messaging before said messaging is released to the public. I'm not thinking of any particular situation, but what is released to the public obviously is going to have an impact on, you know, the way it's said, what's said, and councillors sitting here are not aware of what's being released to the public. Is that a concern? I don't know. Just something to think about. Okay, I think we're in a situation where, as Councillor Kekkonen said, we need more time to review. And I don't know whether there's a time on this that has to be put in place. As you say, much of it's happening now anyway. It's just a matter of consolidating it, putting it into print, and to ensure who does what. I'm wondering at another meeting to get some of the changes and maybe another version. Mm-hmm. As you say, the board's already gone through a lot of this, but the council hasn't. So,
yeah.
Council Zilla.
So I think now probably Lynn has taken all your notes and go back and review it. And then, you know, work with the committee to get the wording and then pass it by Carly again, and then they could bring it back to council again, and then council could go over it, you know, take time, look it over, see if there's any other changes that need to be made, because I don't really think, like you were saying, where it says about a committee of, you know, 2 board members and that, I think, you know, we're a small enough municipality that we could work this way, you know.
And I'm not sure how it works with the Agricultural Society. When they had the fair, do they use parts of the library for that? I know the McKellar Market does. The library's opened up. So I think all of that has to be taken into consideration somewhere in this, that that's controlled by somebody who has charge of that. And I'm not sure if it's mentioned. Maybe it's just generally mentioned in here about group organizations, community organizations. But I'm thinking that's, and certainly appreciate that, as I said before, community hub is the key. and to be able to do that. I know the market used to send a request of council to use the council chambers. I'm not sure if they do for library. They probably should, because it's the same sort of thing. Once you get the public in there, and they're not the usual patrons milling through there, you don't know what's going to be destroyed or
taken. And we
taken.
Do get vendors at that point, so it changes
That's true.
The status.
Right? Yeah.
But I think some of that's in our library policy of what we offer to our community. And part of a library is to offer, you know, community support, historical support. So, you know, the Fall Fair we see as a very important offering to the community.
Well, it's come a long way since 82, when we started,
yeah.
So... I'm not even sure if we just call it a library anymore. I know Whitestone has changed their name because of all the other things you offer. So.
Well, Whitestone is a technology library where I would say we have a big toe in the 21st century, technically, but we're definitely not fully there yet. But, you know, baby steps. But, no, I appreciate all this because this was quite a work, this getting through the jargon. And, you know, figuring out what works and what doesn't. And so we love our relationship with the township. We don't want to upset the apple cart in any way.
No, I think it's working well, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, any further questions? Great. I don't think you have to start at square one. Just a few things.
We'll go back and I'll try to go over all these points and if maybe Carly and I can talk and go over what she comes up with from this meeting.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carly's wanting to get out of here.
Yes.
Is there anything else for her?
No. Nope.
She wants to drive in daylight. So.
Yes. Goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just before the time.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know it's been a while, but I'll call the question. That resolution I read about 20 minutes ago.
You're going to have to read it again.
Oh.
Because I think it's deferred. Is this regarding the MOU?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I think it would have to be deferred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you remember it? I can read it again.
No, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, it's deferred.
Okay. Any further discussion on that? I'll call the vote then. Sounds like it's going to be for deferral. So all those in favor of deferral?
Deferral.
Good. I can't say it's carried. It's deferred.
Okay.
On to item 20.2. Resolution 26-198, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the agenda for the District of Parry Sound Municipal Association Spring 2026 meeting to be held on Friday, May 29th, 2026, in the town of Kearney for information purposes, and further direct staff to register all members of Council and Carly Britton to attend the meeting with the cost of registration to be paid by the Township. Discussion? Like a good program.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Dave. Is yeah, the program looks good. Look, you know, what the presentations they have scheduled are quite interesting and helpful. So, yeah, look forward to the meeting.
And the food's different.
Oh
food.
He wasn't going to mention the food.
That's right. I said that to him. Yeah, it's lasagna.
Councilor
Kagan. Yeah. So the road assumption discussion by Jason Hodgkin. This is going to be quite interesting, I believe.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To item 21.1, I have resolution 26-199. No move.
What is it?
Okay. 2021.1, Resolution 26-199, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby accepts the quotation from Jantz Interiors for the framing of the McKellar 150th Anniversary banners, consisting of the installation of 1/4-inch plywood backing with fabric slash vinyl friendly spray adhesive and 1 1/4-inch poplar black band framing and treated with natural stain and varnish. And further, that the cost for said work shall be $6,925 inclusive of materials and labor, plus applicable taxes, for a total cost of $7,825.25. And further, that the banner shall be removed and completed off-site as required. And further, the council authorizes staff to proceed with the work and make the necessary arrangements for completion of the project. Discussion. Councilor Zulak.
Should we have a time in there, a completion, so that they're not... I don't imagine it would be, but just so that it's not kept up for a couple of years.
I know he's...
No, I know he's... Yeah.
He needs a project right now, because he's had one of his work jobs has been deferred till the fall, so this is perfect timing.
Okay.
Councilor Kaplan?
The historical banners are an amazing keepsake from the 150th celebrations, but I think we need to have things in perspective regarding the cost of this framing of these banners compared to what the original cost was of the banners. And I thought that would have been helpful to have, you know, provided with this quote. The original cost of the banners was banner material and printing was $2,762, and we're spending $7,825 to put a frame around them. I'm just wondering if Jantz Interiors would be open to discussions of other options. One of the suggestions by the when the historical committee members took a look were putting a coroplast backing on the back to ensure that the banners aren't sort of folding on the edges. And so Jantz Interiors, I think they included, so the removal and reinstallation is $550, and materials for the coroplast solution is approximately $300. So I'm just wondering if that is an option that should be considered.
I think what we need to know probably is what was put out there in the first place. Would they come up with their own solutions, or were they given instructions to bid on it this way? And if they were given instructions to do it this way, then that sort of limits what you're saying there. But if it was open, what is the best way, do you think, to repair these or keep them intact? Then I would say your option is a possibility. But I'm not sure what instructions they were given at the start and how many other bidders we had, if any. So I think that has to be investigated too. And I know time is of the essence here. They'll have other jobs coming up. But if there is a more cost-effective way, sure, I think that would make sense. Councilor Zulak?
So how long have the banners been there?
So 2023.
3 years?
Yeah, about that.
And they're currently quite bad. And we have so much activity in there. I'm just thinking if you repurchase banners, right? Every 3 years, you'd be paying for it would pay for the framing of them instead of, you know, because once they're ripped and torn and whatever, then they're of no use to us. But maybe we can send that out and ask him, has he got, or any ideas? When he came and looked at
them,
did he give any other ideas of what to do? Or do you recall, Mary, was he told what we wanted?
I believe he was the one who came up with this idea.
Okay.
I guess because of his background and...
Yeah.
Councilor Haskin?
Yes, I believe that staff met with them on site, and this is a professional business recognized in the area, and they give their professional opinion on what they felt was the best method of solving this issue. And we even have a picture here, and I think it looks wonderful, and they obviously have to take them all down, take them away to a shop, mount them on the backing boards, frame them out and everything, and then come back and reinstall, and that involves scaffolding to take down to begin with, and then probably resetting back up to reinstall, and then they got to make sure that they are installed properly to make sure they're secured properly, and I believe that's that was all talked about. So I believe I see it as a professional job. The price may seem high, but for any work in that line, especially a good finished carpentry, it's really costly now. And there is what is it, 15 or 17?
17
banners. I saw. And I think this will look wonderful and solve our issue. And I would think that should last for decades.
Ever. Yeah.
Yeah, for, I won't say forever, but until the place burns down, yeah. I guess, right? Or are they fireproof? They'll survive a fire, I don't know. But anyways, I would be, if the fellow was available, I would say, let's get it done. It's an embarrassment when I'm over there, and especially playing pickleball there, and the ball go up and jam in behind the post, just to the point now where it's going to be really embarrassing when one rips in half and flops down. And like I think McKellar is a better place than that. I think we don't need to Mickey Mouse around any longer with this project. I want to vote in favor of this motion and get this work done.
Yeah, it's hard to know if it's a good price or not. It's the only price, right? So it's hard to compare, but I don't know. I mean, there's also the other suggestion of putting them outside. So maybe we change to in midstream here, and we're just going to actually repair what we have and keep it there. Replacement idea is not bad either. It's cheaper. As you say, you'd have to replace every so many years, though, and they
yeah.
can still get damaged. Yeah.
Yeah, and so then you'd be up to the 7,000 anyways.
Right.
Right. It, but if you look at the picture here and you see the one that's up there and the one in the frame,
mm-hmm.
it just sets it off.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
My question earlier, I don't know if it's been investigated, can that extra weight be accommodated on that wall?
Mm.
Because we have the those tiles that are on there, and you mentioned finding different studs in behind. I assume that they could do that. Maybe they don't have to each be on a stud. I don't know. My only worry is the extra weight on the wall, but because you're getting 17 banners, that's a fair bit of wood, even though it's light. I don't know why that's been investigated.
I don't know, but when they have the fair and they have all those quilts hanging in there.
But they're hanging on hooks and not necessarily right on the wall. They have the extra boards they put up.
Yeah.
They don't have them hanging over on the acoustic.
Don't they
pile.
Go into the wall?
The board, I think they have the separate boards with hooks hanging down from above. I don't know.
Well,
as long as it's been looked at, and I don't want a situation where, you know, we're fine until we find out that we're not fine.
Yeah, well, maybe we a special note to the contractor to ensure that they are secured for life. As far as, and then he, I imagine he'll tie in some strong material in there, whether it be studs or whatever kind of thing. Not a lot of weight to them, but like you say, Dave, yeah, it is 17 strung across there, but the weight of each one will, I think, only stress that two-foot area. So, and I don't believe they'll weigh any more than probably, no more than 70 pound, probably more like 40 or 50 pound each kind of thing. So, but a note to the contractor to ensure that they are secure.
Yeah, and just I wouldn't want to hurt or ruin the acoustic tile while they're putting them up. So,
yeah, I think
that was put in especially for sound. And to
yeah,
be much better. But
well, we're kind of basing on the fact that they're a well-known, high-rated company.
Well, yes,
I'd be a little worried if I went over and did it. So, which might be what's going to happen if we don't do something soon. So.
Well, then we better do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Any further discussion on this one? All the question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 21.2, two-pager.
Yeah.
And resolution 26-200, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that in addition to the winter maintenance presently provided, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby agree to provide winter maintenance, the nature and extent of which will be determined by the Public Works Superintendent and Council for the municipally owned roads and distances attached in Schedule A, for the winter season 2026-2027 only, and have permanent residents residing there on a year-round basis as determined by the clerk administrator. If these conditions do not exist at the time of winter plowing, including a suitable turnaround, then the Township of McKellar will not provide winter maintenance on said roads. Council, in consultation with Township staff, will review said roads in the spring of 2027 to determine the feasibility of continuing this program. It's understood that Council is under no obligation to continue this program. Further, be it resolved that it is understood there is no obligation on Council to convert a municipally owned, seasonally maintained road to a year-round maintained road, nor is there any obligation on Council to assume presently unassumed municipally owned roads. Council, at its sole discretion, will provide maintenance on the roads named in Schedule A, as Council determines, based on maintenance needs in the Township of McKellar's financial capabilities. As presently, there will be no municipal maintenance provided for fire routes, unless on a municipal road allowance opened at the sole discretion of the municipality on its own volition without any request from an outside source. Private roads, streets, avenues, roads, drives, crescents, circles, laneways, driveways, municipal road allowances opened by private individuals, nor for any other roads which do not appear in Schedule A. And Schedule A to resolution 26-200. Municipally owned roads to be winter maintained by the Township of McKellar for the winter season 2026-2027 only, providing that the conditions in the attached resolution are met. Bay Drive, Brownlee Road, 0.6 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. Deerfield Road, Fire Route 200, Broadbent Colonial Road, 0.2 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. Stony Road, formerly Fire Route 152. Dockside Drive, formerly Fire Route 152A. Bruce Trail, formerly Fire Route 152B. Jones's Road, 0.8 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. McEwen Road, 0.1 kilometer beyond a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. Moffat Road, West Road, 1.7 kilometers from a year-round road on a summer-maintained road. And Fox Farm Road, from the year-round maintained road ending at 6 Fox Farm Road to the intersection with Watkins Lane on a summer-maintained road. Discussion. I think one of the things that we want to investigate, and this will be up to our public works superintendent, we've added one more to the list last year with Fox Farm, which is good. We've had some rumblings, I guess, at different times from the public works superintendent about certain roads and how difficult they are to maintain in the winter. I'm thinking it's still early enough in the year. Last year was September, and I realize the people on these roads certainly want some confirmation, which, you know, looking back over a decade and some, I don't think there's been a problem. But I would think we should do our due diligence as well and try to resolve some of those problems that our public works superintendent has mentioned before. I'm just thinking we need some type of a report within the next month, certainly, on what his concerns are on certain roads, and maybe we can work at resolving some of those issues, if there are major issues. I mean, if we have a truck going off the road and having to be pulled out regularly, then there is a concern. A lot of cost, plus damage to the actual vehicle and maybe to the driver. So those are areas we have to look at. We've always asked for the proper turnaround. We don't have them in all places, as we know. There's some turns probably in a driveway, which is a concern. And I think we just need a bit more information from the public works superintendent how we can alleviate any concerns there might be on some of these roads. Some of them just not. I mean, we've done it, as I say, since about 2009, maybe 10, somewhere in there. And as a consideration for those people on the unassumed, we certainly want to help them out until they are assumed. We've actually tried with the three of them. We've come up with an engineer report on the three unassumed within this area, with Deerfield and with and Bay, and also on Fire 152, since renamed, and on Moffett Road. And they haven't got back to us over a couple of years now, probably. And so we'd certainly like to work with them to work for assumption at some point. But until then, and if we continue this policy, I can't see it ending at this point with the winter maintenance and the sanding. I think we need a bit of a report, at least from the public works superintendent, to hopefully resolve any problems he sees. Not to discontinue the program, but to somehow work towards a better situation. Maybe a turnaround in particular is what comes to mind. In some of these locations, of course, the subdivisions were put in years back, and there wasn't really the consideration at that point. One of them, until recently, was a private subdivision, private roads, until the township actually purchased those properties. So we're dealing with what exists, and is not always conducive to a safe environment. So I don't know, I'll just put it to council whether you want to pass this now or wait for a further, little more detailed report from the public works superintendent. Councillor Tucker.
I'd be in favor of passing it just because this, it's been working adequately over the years, and I have no intention of changing or eliminating any of the roads from the Schedule A list, so I have no problems passing it so that the residents on those roads know that nothing is changing.
Okay, other comments? Councillor Zulai?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I just would like to make note that we have Tom come to the next meeting or the next one at the latest. And give the, and he could go through any problems or whatever that he has, make notes of it, and then he can discuss it with us.
Okay, so you have no problem passing this now and then
right.
Having his report later?
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Hassan?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with council that pass it now, and it's a good point by the mayor of communicating with our road super for a report. I think that's a good idea, and then if there are issues, well, then we can talk with the road associations if they have one on those certain roads for any potential improvement as we go forward. But yeah, I'm good with the motion, so all these residents know what's going to happen this coming winter.
Okay, just one qualification. You mentioned the mayor. I've always wanted council involved discussing with the public works superintendent, so I prefer Councillor Zulak's idea of having him come to a meeting rather than just my talking to him. I think that's where you run into trouble.
Right. Yeah, that wasn't what I was suggesting. I was saying the quote you made, I would agree with.
Okay. Any further discussion? I guess the only thing is to confirm that the public works superintendent is coming to discuss this, because we have a resolution in place that he comes every couple of meetings, but it hasn't been happening, so we have to make sure that he does show up.
Okay. I have a note.
You have a note. Okay. So I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 21.3, Resolution 26-201, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Keckner. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby declare the 2016 F-250 pickup truck as surplus to the needs of the township, and further that staff be directed to dispose of the surplus equipment in accordance with the township's procurement and disposal of assets policy. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried.
I wonder if we can clarify for the applicants here that what's going on. I think that we've already dealt with that, and there's Is there anything further that we're discussing regarding the application?
I just thought they wanted to hear how council was voting.
I do. Sorry, I should introduce myself. I'm Bob Yerk, part of the Manitou Cottage Association.
What was
Zan
the
Man?
Microphone, sorry.
I'm Bob Yerk, I'm part of the Manitou Cottage Association, Dockside Drive, Stony Road,
right.
Bruce Trap. And is our part of our group as well. So the only, first of all, thank you for bringing this forward. Let me start there. That's great because we have a resolution to not worry about for this fall, especially with an election coming. So that's wonderful. Thank you very much for doing that. And I do very much appreciate the idea of having Tom look at our roads. One concern I have is that in your resolution, it suggests that if I understood it right, that if the superintendent deems the road not to be able to turn around, for example, that he could say, no, we're not going to plow that road.
I thought it said
kind of
superintendent
says that.
And council.
So I guess what I'm asking or looking for is when the superintendent does that review and he finds an issue and he brings that to council, and hopefully council will come back to us and we can work with you to resolve that issue. That's really what we're looking for, is not to just take us off the list. Let us work with you, our committee. We have a very strong committee and a great number of people that are on our board, as well as our people as well. We have, we collect money every year, we have money in the bank. We work with you to fix these issues. We certainly want you to do the plowing, the winter maintenance, and we don't want to lose that benefit because of an issue that we could easily resolve.
Right.
By working with you.
Yeah.
And that's really what's important to us. So that's my comment.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. It's a situation, you're in a little different situation. A lot of them, we did this back in 2009, as I said, and we wanted to help people out. At that point, Fire Road 152, Dockside, and those were all a private road. It wasn't assumed by the township at that point. It wasn't even municipally owned. And so it was a previous council that purchased that property and with the roads, so it's been added to the group, certainly. And the only concern we had, I think, was up in Bruce Trail, maybe, the turnaround up in there. So,
I know it well.
That's a pretty list.
Yeah. So that's one area, certainly, that I can't foresee, you know, they've been doing it for now a couple of years, certainly, in that area. And they found solutions. They'll probably have others. I mean, our engineers looked at it as well.
Yep.
And we have to confirm who owns what property up in there. I think there was one lot that maybe was getting a lot of snow and it maybe shouldn't have been, but it was a private lot. So those are things we'd have to work out, yes. I don't think I would be too concerned, but I can't speak for the next council coming in. So, I mean, that's something we've been doing, certainly, for a number of years. And as council has said tonight, they plan to continue that. And I don't think that whatever the public works superintendent says would actually eliminate you from the program. I think the question was, how can we improve it, perhaps? But they have been doing it, so they've been. We know it can be done.
So from our perspective, what we would like to see maybe next year is a discussion with the new council to say, for that term of council.
Oh, yes, okay.
As opposed to a yearly discussion on
right.
this, where we have to, you know, re-talk to our group and worry about, you know, next year's decision, so to speak. So if we could move something forward maybe next year with a new council that says for this term of council, as opposed to forever, could we have a resolution that says, you know, for the next 4 years, we're going to take care of it. And if it's after that, and so on, as opposed to a yearly discussion would certainly be something we...
No, that makes sense. There's another option, of course.
Yeah.
To proceed with the assumption.
I'd be great if you could amend the resolution you have before you now with that. That'd be great.
No, I'm just saying the other option is assumption.
Yes. Well, we've had, when I was here the last time, we had that discussion.
Yes.
And I did present that information to Carly, our results and where we're at. It was left there. I was hoping to bring it forward to council and it never got brought forward, so I'm not sure how we move forward with that, but this is a separate issue that, you know, we're quite happy to have resolved for at least for this year, so thank you.
Yeah, as far as the other, the where it's sitting is it's in what we understand anyway. Maybe it's a miscommunication, but that it's in the people's hands, the Cottage Association, now to come back to council after they've received those signatures and the value of the property.
So
you've got the estimates, and I think that's where it's sitting. So I hope it's not just sitting there because nobody knows who to take the who should do the next step. Because we're open to...
I'm happy to have a discussion about that right now if you want.
No, no, not right now. It's not
okay.
On the agenda.
I can come back to council with a with where we're at, and I would like to have that conversation. I believe I did present that to Carly, and I thought that was coming forward, but so there clearly is, a misunderstanding of where we're at. So I'm up for maybe Carly could give us direction on where we... how we move forward.
Okay.
I know that our residents have voted, and I don't we don't have the numbers, so that's where we're at. And and there are a number of issues that are issues or concerns that, that some of the residents have that we're missing what we believe key information. So I think we need to have a discussion about this if we're going to move forward, but. Maybe today's not the right day for it.
No, probably not. Through Carly's good. We mentioned at one previous meeting, and our public works superintendent has more information on it. He was at the Good Roads Association. And the, I don't know whether you're aware, the province is looking at, similar to what they had years back with MTO standards, the province is looking at coming up with their standards that we have to abide by then. And so that's why we had suggested that the sooner we can get this done, the better. That it's an assumed road, as opposed to waiting for MTO standards, which past experience has shown probably more strict than what the township's proposing.
Time
is important.
I do have some familiarity with the MTO standards on, and again, it's the road classification is where it fits in and how many people and so on, traffic counts, etc.
Yeah.
And it gets quite debatable about where you fit on the chart, so to speak, and what you need to meet the requirements. I've read through the township's requirements. And I think they're reasonable. I obviously have some concern about some of the road widths, but notwithstanding that, again, a discussion that we could have at some point if we're going to move forward and get this done, as I certainly would love to get this done as well.
Yeah. I would say, yes, talk to Carly is probably the best then. And bit of a situation with this year, of course, because we passed the budget and we've got all our capital projects now. It's something that certainly could be investigated, knowing how long it takes to get some things done. I think the discussion probably first, and it might be something that if it's not done this year, the next council could consider. At least it's down then and who's doing what. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Good
night. Good night. Well, certainly an accommodating council, and that's good. I wasn't aware of who they were, so it's something that would tie in with the winter maintenance, certainly, but it's a much more involved discussion than that, and so I think we've always been agreeable to let people speak at that time, although they're not on the agenda as such, but then we don't have to wait for the public question period, as many places do, so I think that was worthwhile. I'm thinking, though, going forward, it'd probably be a good idea to have introductions at the start, so we know who they are and what they might be here for. It's a little unfair playing field, I guess. Some of us know who they are and others don't, so makes it difficult. So thanks for bringing up the issue and having them speak to it. Yeah. Okay, item 22.1. I haven't read this one, right?
No.
Resolution 26-202, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskam. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2026-25, being a bylaw to acknowledge the conveyance of lands received as a condition of consent, and to establish, dedicate, and deem such lands as a public highway, Balsam Road, Parts 3 and 4, Plan 42R-22808, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Dash 20, or here's another one, -2198176, Ontario Inc. The first and second reading, and further give a third reading and pass an open council the 5th day of May 2026. Discussion? I guess we just need location of this, because these are just numbers. Is this a previous severance, where we were getting 10 meters from the center line? Council Kuchman?
Yeah, that was quite as wise, but it would be nice if there was a map on here, just so that we would be able to actually visually see what we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
So this is something that was put in place, I think. I'm not sure it was the one, it's certainly on Balsam Road. We've had a couple of situations in the past where people were to dedicate some property to the township within 10 meters from the center. If survey proved that it was somebody's in somebody's name other than the township. And so this one probably is back with Swan Boulevard in that area, I'm not sure.
I believe it's Oldham's.
Oldham's,
yes.
Okay.
That's what I
thought.
So it's pretty close to Swan Boulevard
yeah.
before you get there.
But I don't see numbers.
See, when it's an Ontario company, too, it's difficult to trace.
Yeah, see. I was looking at it because I had his file, but I don't see any matching numbers.
Yeah.
We can... defer
yeah,
it and
it,
then
it,
just add a map to it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to make much difference at this point.
No,
I don't think
no.
time is that important. But it is something that we looked at, and I know in some cases people say you don't have to do that, but we've discovered that there are many township roads, I don't know the exact number, but we've run into it before, where it actually becomes a trespass road because it's not in the township name, and it's certainly legally township road that people can drive on, but it's nice to have it in the township name.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned at this point too, as I said before, this is a sort of just a tangent on this. Many of our subdivisions as well were never approved by proper bylaws for winter maintenance. The only ones that exist on record, summer maintenance only. And they even talked about a couple season cottages, not full year round permanent residents. So I'm thinking those should be updated as well, just for confirmation for future owners. That, as I say, overuse, I'm sure a solicitor would tell us that there's no problem, that they are in the township name, and they receive regular winter maintenance. But the bylaw doesn't say that, and it's never been updated. So I'm thinking we should, I don't know how much extra time there is, but investigate that anyway and update those bylaws so it's not just for summer maintenance. Especially important, I think, when the unassumed roads and the summer maintained roads come up in discussion at council. It would be nice to have them all assumed by the municipality, but there are procedures to follow. And as ratepayers tell us, they don't want to have to pay for other roads. They have to pay for their own, perhaps. So there is a cost to the people on these roads to get them assumed. But the ones that are established in the subdivisions, it's just clarification. Maybe a solicitor would tell us if we don't need it, but could be investigated. Did you find matching numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. Here.
I knew if I talked long enough.
Yeah, Howard Old President, and it's got that old Ontario Inc. number, and that's the same one that's on here.
Excellent. So it is that.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's no further discussion of this, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 22.2, resolution 26-203, moved by Councillor Kekkonen and second by Councillor Haskins. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-26, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2025-10, being a bylaw to authorize the execution of an agreement for a bylaw enforcement officer for the Township of McKellar, and to appoint a bylaw enforcement officer for the Township of McKellar, a first and second reading. And further give a third reading and pass an open council this 5th day of May 2026. Discussion? Just so the public is aware, it's the same bylaw officer, just a slight amendment to the agreement that has been signed. Take a call. Question? All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. unfinished business as of May 5th, 2026. Anything on the list you wish to discuss, add, remove? Any new business? Councilor Peckin?
It's sort of aligns with the consent agenda. Just, I could discuss it there. I'll discuss it with the
public notices.
Yes.
Okay. We'll on to public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Councilor Peckin.
So looking at item 26.10 in the consent agenda, it talks about the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund, which is great that we do receive funding from the provincial government and recently received $100,000, actually a couple of years ago. The NORDS grant has been in place, but we have not been receiving any major infrastructure funding for infrastructure. We've received some NOHSE grants for basically extracurricular type of activities. I think that this is not just hurting us, but it's hurting a lot of municipalities. When you look back at the list of infrastructure funding we received, such as Burnett's Road, I think that was the last major, possibly one of the last major infrastructure funding opportunities that we had. 90% was paid by the province, and that was approximately $1 million project. So now that we're engaging in quite a few large-scale infrastructure projects, it's hurting the municipality financially. So, with this 26.10, it's requesting that the provincial government ensure that the continuation of the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund beyond 2026, to ensure that it continues on and that it's possibly increased, definitely with no reductions in subsequent provincial budgets. But I think it would be useful if, and I thought that for the DPSMA meeting, District of Parry Sound Municipal Association meeting, would be nice to have a resolution to bring forward to the other municipalities and basically listing some of the funding that McKellar specifically has received over the years and comparing it to the funding that we've received, say, over the past 5 years, because I think Burness Road was approximately 2015, and to have a list of funding received prior to 2015 and what we received the past 10 years, just because I think a lot of municipalities can relate to that and would possibly put some pressure or remind the province and the federal government, because some of the funding was one-third, we're financially it's impacting us that we aren't receiving this these infrastructure funding opportunities.
Okay, you run the risk of other municipalities saying, well, you've had enough in the past. You don't need any more. Those who haven't got any. So, and I'm sure we should actually put down what McKellar has received. Maybe just keep it general, this municipality has done. Other thoughts on it? I'm not even sure about the municipal association. It's is it too late to put in a resolution? I don't know what their cutoffs are. I would almost think it is if it's the end of this month.
Yeah. But
you're a representative.
Yeah, you never know. Like if you bring it forward to Carly, she could still probably have time to put it on, although the agenda's already out. So, okay.
Well, for possibly the next one, I'm just thinking that because it does take a little bit of research just to confirm how much funding received from what was the stream called at that point in time. Just I don't know how much longer municipalities can continue to absorb these substantial infrastructure costs without any assistance from either levels of government. It's definitely impacting our reserves and financial situation.
Councilor Zulak?
Especially when it says in here about including roads and bridges.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if we get our engineering in line, then, you know, if there is something that comes up that we can apply for, we have a better chance of getting it, getting something. And I thought I heard something on the radio the other day about Seguin Archipelago and Parry Sound. Did anyone hear that getting money for roads and bridges?
That was the NORIS grant that was announced, like, that was I think put in place approximately 2 years ago. So they were re-announcing the same funding that we've already received.
Oh, okay.
Previously, just I don't know.
What was the point of that?
Well, yeah, that was quite interesting. Yeah.
Because I thought, here we are looking desperately for grants or for, you know, roads and bridges, and all of a sudden they're talking that three municipalities got some, but that was an old grant that they got.
Yeah, and so that was listed all the municipalities. McKellar wasn't on that particular announcement list, which we should have been, because that was the old list,
yeah.
And we received $100,000. But in the previous week, there was the provincial government made that announcement, and McKellar was on that list for $100,000. But still, you know, every dollar counts. But when you look at, so that's Herdville Road, total cost over approximately $3 million project. In the past, the provincial government would pay 90%.
Yeah.
We've got $100,000 compared to $2.7 million.
Yeah.
Councilor Zula.
So I think that's a good idea, and that I can bring it forward, or you can bring it forward, that for the next municipal association meeting, we work on a resolution, you know.
I think it's important because, you know, there's infrastructure deficit in everyone's asset management plan, and that was already 2015 when we were getting this kind of funding. And so where's the infrastructure deficit now when, you know, the opportunities for funding and completing these projects just hasn't been there?
No.
You know, we've been trying to keep up and do our best, but it sure would be helpful to get additional funding to ensure that we can tackle more projects.
And we'll never run out of roads and bridges to repair, so we don't have to worry about that.
Okay, so you'll work on that?
That's a major project. It's, you know, if you want to sort of confirm the funding stream that we received it from and the amount, just so that, you know, the resolution has a bit of substance to it. And I know we don't want to be specific, like to say, but still, it's good to know what the facts are.
Well, you can talk about previous programs.
Yeah, yeah, so the streams, the different streams that were available.
Yeah. So Councilor Keckman is going to head that up with Mary's help. We'll have a resolution. Councilor Hasbro.
I think it's a great idea, and Mike's right that we're slowly going backwards. Our infrastructure is failing, and because of the province and the federal government especially, have other priorities right now, which may be good, may be bad, but they still should have a certain commitment to ensure the municipal infrastructure still in place. As far as if we go forward with a motion for McKellar, I think you mentioned, Dave, that I lean toward not putting in our particular figures, what we've received in the past, because, like Dave mentioned, other municipalities, what? McKellar, you've been getting more than your fair share. So, and especially if it's going to be at a municipal meeting. So I think leave our figures out of it, but definitely a motion coming forward, I think, would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We've jumped into consent agenda, but that's okay. Oops. Any other announcements, inquiries, reports by council members, committees? Councilor Kakadas.
I'll just continue on here.
Oh, okay.
So the historical committee on May the 23rd, between 1 and 3 p.m., we're having a barbecue and social at St. Stephen's Community Hub and Museum. And we have a special birthday boy going to be there, 92 years old. He's going to bring his magical fife.
Oh, is he?
So anyone can try to guess who that is. So Jack Bradley's turning 92 on that exact day. So I called him just to let him know we're having this event, and he said, "Well, that's a very special day to me, so I'll be there for sure."
What's the date again?
That's May the 23rd from 1 to 3.
Okay.
And so we will have music and barbecue. And as well, there's a possibility that we've had some correspondence from Norm Dinner, and he is with the group called Canadime Group, and what they do is they, at by Vimy Ridge in Maison Blanc near Vimy Ridge, there's tunnels underground where the soldiers were hunkered down during the First World War, and the Harvey brothers from McKellar, if you go to Evelyn Watkins Moore Heritage Museum, you will see there's a display down there with trench coat and some other personal items. Well, they made some carvings in the chalk walls down in the in those tunnels, along with hundreds or thousands of other different inscriptions. And so Canada Group, they go down and they document all these, and it looks like they've made sort of a plaster replica of what the Harvey brothers had left, and it's in a display case, and we're trying to arrange that they come and make the presentation to the historical committee on May the 23rd, so we'll see if that comes to fruition. If not, it will be at another point in time, but it's pretty amazing to have, you know, that little, that piece of, you know, them speaking from the past, from McKellar at, you know, Vimy Ridge, and now having that display alongside the display that's currently down in the museum.
Well, that'd be excellent if that can be arranged. Yeah. I thought you were leading up to a field trip or something over to the tunnels.
Oh,
yeah,
gosh.
Not going that far. Okay. Well, that's good. Any other committee reports? Councilor Hassan?
No, Dave, but to talk about a historical, something I'll just plant into Mike's mind in case he wants to bring it up. But this historical is something I find very interesting. It could be more to do with the Remembrance Day, as we do have, I don't know how many lakes that were renamed in the municipality over war veterans. I know two for sure, kind of thing. So one being Marshall Lake, the southeast corner of the lake, was renamed Belfry. And I thought, I'm going to Google, like, this Belfry name kind of thing. And it was very interesting. I went on and found out exactly who this Belfry young fellow was, who was drafted into the war and seen action overseas, and unfortunately died of, I believe, gunshot wounds at the age of 24. So it's and I haven't looked into the other lake I'm aware of, which used to be Dog Lake and now is Dutcher Lake. And again, I don't know whether at some point it would be nice to honor these young fellows, whether it be through our remembrance program or through a historical program, that we bring them up and just show that these lakes have been designated.
That would be
through,
nice.
Veterans of the war, and unfortunately when I read the one for the Belfry, it's upsetting to see that such a young fellow had to sacrifice his life for our country. So I just thought I'd bring that up. I know the two lakes for sure. I don't know if there was any more, but it's just an interesting little thing to keep in the back of your mind, Mike, going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Any further? It'd be good too to know the actual family members who are still survive, and that's the key. That's why Evelyn is such a good resource. She knew when we did the bridge opening, for instance, or we did anything with the Remembrance Day at all, she knew the families today who were related to those people. And I think that was really useful to invite those people then to certain
and
events.
They came from far and
wide.
Oh,
yes, they did. Yeah,
yeah. They came.
So you can go a bit further with your research. Who's alive today related to those particular people? That
I actually read that too, and they have family members alive, and they live very close to here.
Excellent.
They are actually down Midland area, just north of Midland, so they're only like an hour away, surviving family members that I think do remember him in some way. And they're probably aware, maybe, that a lake was named after him, you would think, because there was probably a presentation.
Yeah, and in many cases, that's what they did. A family would actually write to the government And they would go through, there's a committee set up, a provincial committee that looks at the geographic names, and they're the ones who are responsible for changing names. Like Stewart Lake, went back to Stewart Lake, it was Simolia for a long time, and then Evelyn was a proponent of getting that change back to the family that was in that area at the time, and that's where the name was. And for some reason it was changed, but all it takes is some individuals wanting to change a name and write to the government, and it's done through this committee. And so, yeah, the family might have been responsible at the time for having it renamed.
Yeah. Now, those two lakes I mentioned are both totally surrounded by Crown land, so I believe that it was something either the federal government or the provincial government said, okay, that way you don't have anybody coming forward. No, it's named after my family. Stay away kind of thing. But it's an interesting little subject, and it was a lot of information I seen as far as details of the family. And it kind of was on my mind, these family members that are living, if they want to remember, they've probably never been to the lake or anything, and it'd be wonderful if you could send an invitation to them, say, like we could transport them to the lake. It's like beautiful back there. What brought it to my mind is I took a photograph back there in the winter time. You can access it easily in the winter because it's on the OFSC snowmobile trail. And whether they would want to come up and say, even the snowmobile club could take them back in there if they wanted, send it a nice gesture that way, and maybe have a little gathering for, you know, however many families were involved.
I was just wondering, because Mary, you do the Remembrance Day thing, if maybe we could send out an invitation to these people to come to the Remembrance Day service, that maybe they would come and...
Yeah. Yeah, we had done it in 2017 at the actual cemeteries, and had a ceremony there for those people who were actually buried in our local cemeteries and served in the war, so I think that was an extra addition. I think this could work too.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be a good little project on the side, Mary. You know, look into it. I didn't Google into the Dutcher dog lake that was switched to Dutcher. So obviously, there's Dutcher war veterans. So hopefully, they're not too far away too. And that'd be,
that would be nice, they could come to the.
Yeah. No. Now, ever offering them to get to that lake, that's a whole other story.
Well, that sounds really good. So Councillor Kekin is working on a project. Now you have one.
Time to adjourn.
Yeah, before you get over to
back to the consent agenda.
No other committees? Okay, on to item 26. Consent. Resolution 26-204. Moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Zulak. The result of Council of the Corporation, Tantra McKellar, has hereby received the consent agenda as presented. We won't take out 26.10 again. So that's already been looked at. Anything else? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 27, question, comment, very related to items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom wish to comment on the agenda items?
Nope.
Going once. Okay. On to item 28.
Through the chat.
Oh.
It's from earlier.
Oh. Resolution 26-205, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2026-27, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 5th day of May 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Item 29, we have resolution 26-206, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:18 p.m.
8:18 p.m. to meet again on May the 19th, 2026, for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.